Hello, everyone. Let me give you the link to reginadonacres.com because for Holy Spirit Guides, that's where we read from. And so you can go ahead and click on that. And Dove, I'm only here until 3, 2 to 3. Holy Spirit Guides is only an hour. And the primary reason for that is Jasmine gets home at 2:45, and when she walks in the door, usually what she really wants is attention from me. I'm sure those of you who have been here for Holy Spirit Guides have heard that before. She comes in and kind of starts making some noises in the background. She's patient for 15 more minutes, but I think asking her for 45 minutes may be a little more than she's willing to give. Once you get to reginadonacres.com, what you'll want to do is on the right-hand menu underneath the archives, find April 2005 and click on April 2005. And then we want to go to the very first message in April of 2005. And the easiest way to do that, once you get to April 2005, right at the top of the page, you'll see where it says Previous Entries. Just click on Previous Entries. The next page that you get to will have another Previous Entries. Click on that again. When there is no longer any Previous Entries, you just maybe do like a Control End on your keyboard, and that will quickly send you to the bottom of the page. Or you can scroll down to the bottom of that first page in April 2005. The very first message, when you find it, is called It Is Time to Open the Door. And that message is dated April 5th, 2005, which was interesting to me. I didn't expect the first message to be April 5th, 2005, because the way I remember it, I was going through quite a bit on April 1st and April 2nd and April 3rd, and I would have thought there would have been something to share, but you know, I don't see anything here, so we'll go with what I got. But let me just tell you a little bit about what was going on April 1st, April 2nd, and April 3rd. As some of you know, I had received guidance to leave my job and go join the Foundation for the Awakening Mind as the caretaker. And I had agreed to do that, and David and I had talked, and we had both agreed it was a plan. But somewhere in my mind, I didn't consider it confirmed until I met with David in person. And it was April 1st, 2005 that David and Kirsten and Vince LeBrun came to my house, and David and I were confirming that commitment. And so as you can imagine, as I was coming upon the date to confirm that, yes, I was going to leave my job and go to work with the Foundation for the Awakening Mind, lots of fear was coming up. And so I guess I expected to see some writings around that, but maybe it was one of those situations where I couldn't really hear the Holy Spirit clearly, because sometimes that happens when fear is coming up. What I do remember about that day, April 1st, when, you know, I was asking myself, should I really commit to this? Well, let me back up a little bit. Back in mid-February of 2005, some of you may remember when David Hoffmeister sent out an email announcing that he and Kirsten had joined in a holy union, which included wedding rings. And in that original email, when he announced that he and Kirsten had joined in Holy Union, there was a story attached to it where Kirsten was not sure. Apparently, they'd gone out in the morning and bought like one ring. I can't remember if it was David's or Kirsten's. And then in the interim, Kirsten was unsure and taking a walk, trying to decide whether she should make this commitment to David or not. And she ran across some old man on the street, and in the process of having a conversation with that old man, he kissed her, and somehow in that kiss, she felt to go ahead and make the commitment to David. And I do remember reading that message in February, and I actually, I'll be honest, I judged it. I thought that was a little bit weird. But I want to tell you what happened to me on April 1st, 2005 was, you know, I'm in a way going through the same thing. I, of course, was not considering holy, you know, matrimony with David or anything like that, but considering making this commitment. and asking, is this something I really want to do today, or do I want to take this opportunity to back out? And shortly before David and Kirsten arrived, I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I was buying muffins for our breakfast the next morning. And when I walked in, there was an old man sitting there, and I had seen him in there before, and I had said hi to him as I walked by, but we were not, we didn't really know each other. In the language of the world, he was a stranger. but when I walked in, he started a conversation with me. I can't remember what it was about, but yes, Dorothy, he jumped up and he grabbed me and he kissed me. That's exactly what happened. And my very first thought was to pull away from this man's kiss. But then my second thought was to allow it. And it was a closed mouth kiss, but it was a kiss on the mouth. And as I chose to allow it and I chose to sink into it, something happened. I can't really quite describe it except to say all the fear and uncertainty melted away, and I knew then that I was going to make this commitment. So I just thought it was rather funny also, since it was so similar to the story that Kirsten had told, which I had judged just a couple of months before. But yeah, my commitment to David Hofmeister also came through a kiss by an old man. So just kind of a funny story. And so that day, David and I did, confirm that I was going to do this. And probably on Monday, April 4th, I put my house up for sale. And I believe it actually sold on the first day, if I remember correctly. It sold that day. I put it up for sale and it was gone. Shoosh, just like that. But on the 2nd, April 2nd, I was with David and Kirsten all day. We went to a gathering at Open Doors. And I just remember like about every hour or so I was closing my eyes and really focusing inward, in order to let go of fear and continue with the commitment I was making, I guess is the best way to word it. And then April 3rd, 2005 was the very first time I ever taught on Pal Talk. So as you can see, that was really a pretty big weekend for me, April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So I was kind of surprised to see that the very first writing with Holy Spirit was on April 5th. But it is. So maybe by April 5th, all the excitement had calmed down enough that I could, kind of get back to normal. So let's see what the Holy Spirit had to say on April 5th. So It's Time to Open the Door is the name of the writing. It's time to see what I have been afraid to see. It's time to see that which I am not fully ready to see, but I can open the door a crack. With that little willingness, the light will come streaming in. I will hear the call of the blessings outside the door, and I will open it more. As joy of the call strikes my heart, the door will open wider until at last the door and the walls I erected around it will fall away and vanish. All that I will see is the reality I tried to hide. It is time. Open the door. And I think probably with the story I just told you, you can see how perfect that was for me, because I was taking some pretty dramatic steps, putting my house up for sale, committing to David Hofmeister, all of those types of things, some pretty dramatic steps, and I was afraid. And so I think you can see that really what this message that the Holy Spirit gave me, he's really, calming my fears. Opening the door a crack is like saying take one step at a time. You don't have to swing that door open. Just open the door a crack, and you'll have an experience that will come from that crack, from the light that streams in just through the crack, and that will encourage you and lead you to open the door more. And then as more light streams in, you'll feel to open the door more. So he's really just letting me know that I can keep going forward one step at a time. And that as I do, I will learn through my own experience to keep walking forward. So this is the same as what the Course says when it says that if you will trust the Holy Spirit, you will find that your trust is well-founded. That's what this is saying first. Again, the trust always has to come first. Before any light can come streaming through that door, I do have to turn that doorknob and open it at least a crack. But I really only have to open it a sliver. And once I open it even a sliver, when I take that first little step in trust or that first little leap of faith, then some light will stream in and I will recognize that light, which will then lead me to open the door a little more and a little more and a little more. And then eventually the door is open wide. So again, a very, very beautiful message that the Holy Spirit gave me to help me at a time when I was taking some very dramatic steps. And I'm just going to read it one more time before we move on. Yeah, I'm noticing that David is coming and there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That is what Reverend Tony Ponticello taught us in February at the ACIM conference. Okay, so here we go. It's time to see what I have been afraid to see. It is time to see that which I am not fully ready to see, but I can open the door a crack. With that little willingness, the light will come streaming in. I will hear the call of the blessings outside the door, and I will open it more. As joy of the call strikes my heart, the door will open wider until at last the door and the walls I erected around it will fall away and vanish. All that I will see is the reality I tried to hide. It is time. Open the door. So a really appropriate message for what I was going through April 5th, a really helpful message, a beautiful message. Looks like on April 5th a couple of things came up, because the next message is also dated April 5th. It's called Focus on the Light. Looks like I had a question for the Holy Spirit. A friend has asked for help. He has a sincere desire to bring the Course to others so they may see its truth and value. Is there something you would like to share with him through me? I'd be very happy to pass a message on to him if this is my role. Yeah, I remember this. This was very, very interesting. This would have been Tuesday evening. Possibly, now that I look at it, almost a reflection of my willingness to accept the message from Tuesday morning about opening the door a crack. This seemed to come about because I told you I had taught on Pal Talk for the very first time on April 3rd. Well, someone that heard me teaching on Pal Talk actually called me. This was the first time, you know, anybody ever called me seeking any kind of help. And he did express a real desire to share the Course, felt like he could not hear guidance within his own mind, and he wanted me to ask the Holy Spirit how he should share the Course. And, you know, I had no idea whether I was to do that or not. So that's why I said, you know, I'd be very happy to pass a message on to him if this is my role. So I asked that question, and I believe, remember after asking the question, I actually got up and went and started doing the dishes, not knowing if an answer was going to come or not. And sure enough, I mean, I hadn't been doing the dishes very long at all, and an answer started streaming into my mind, and I had to, you know, dry my hands and go write it down. So this is the answer that came. Tell him to shine his light. He has such a beautiful light to share with everyone. Ask him to focus on that light, to make it bright, so bright that it blazes for all to see. That is the best thing any of my miracle workers can do. They may think they help by answering questions, leading others to study, or by passing out food to the hungry, or doing other good works. Good works are useful because they are symbols of my love, but it is my love that everyone seeks. My love can shine directly through each of you, regardless of what you are doing. And those who are seeking it now, in this lifetime, will see the light in you and know it is me. Then they will come to you if you are to be their teacher, and I will tell you what to say to them. Each miracle worker must focus on developing his own inner light. He can do this through meditation and prayer. Being alone with me is important. I am the inner guide that will show him his role, and it is being alone with me that will make his awareness of the light in him grow. The light does not grow, but the awareness of the light does. And as the miracle worker becomes more aware of the light within, others see it too. Then the miracle worker may be used to help those who seek to find their own inner light and to fan their own flame. My guidance comes to each one at the right time for him. It is the right time because it is the time that he has made ready to hear it. Be at peace with your path and your place within your path. Fan your own flame and listen for my guidance. It is all around you waiting for you to hear. So, you know, it really appears that the main point about that guidance was really to stop seeking, you know, outside of us for a way to be helpful. That really the way to be most helpful is always to seek within, to accept the atonement for ourselves. And as we focus within with that goal to accept the atonement for ourselves, we may be led by Holy Spirit in ways that seem to be helpful to others, but that really isn't our focus. Our focus is always within, with accepting the atonement for ourselves. And of course, we can see how that message obviously was not just for the person who called, but it was a perfect message for me at this time and every time. I mean, this is a message that never goes away. There isn't a time when this message isn't perfect. I mean, no matter where we're at, the reminder we seem to always need is what our real job is, what our only responsibility is, and that, of course, is to accept the atonement for ourselves. And we always want to remain focused in that direction. And as long as we remain focused in that direction, the Holy Spirit can continue to use us in whatever way appears to be useful. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. All right, then, let's move to April 6th. You'll just want to scroll up a little bit. And it looks like I called this one From the Holy Spirit to You. You are beautiful in my sight. Your glory shines up to the heavens and makes the angels sing. There is no one but you, and you are everyone. You are our love and our charge, whom we care for. Listen to our call. It is for your joy and happiness and peace. Do not turn away from us. Come to us. We are calling you home to love. And I very definitely remember receiving this. And again, there was still, you know, fear coming up about the fact that my house had sold, you know, I was leaving my job, all of these big changes. And I remember this message really feeling very, very comforting to me. And it's funny because the line that felt most comforting to me was that one that says, "And our charge, whom we care for. You are our love and our charge, whom we care for." Something about the word "our charge." Something in that told me that I could put my complete trust into the Holy Spirit, that, you know, I really was the Holy Spirit's charge, which meant I had absolutely nothing to fear, and that any fear in my mind was purely imagination, because if I was the Holy Spirit's charge, then the Holy Spirit was definitely going to make sure that as I stepped forward on this path, that all of my needs were going to be cared for. And all of the little things I was worrying about, like how financial needs would be met, how we would find a place to live, you know, how Jasmine would settle in her new school, you know, whether Jasmine would make friends or not, since we were moving in the middle of the summer, whether she would make friends quickly or not. All of these fears that I had in my mind were fears that I really could let go of, because the Holy Spirit saw me as his charge. You know, it was his duty, if you will, to make sure that all of my needs were being taken care of as I was taking these steps and making this transition. And I really found this very comforting, and I remember that I held on to this for several days, not just one day, and I went over this in my mind over and over again as I let go of fears. And in fact, shortly after this, You know, something did happen about a week later was the inspection on my house. I told you that my house sold in one day on April 4th, the day we put it on the market, it sold. So about a week after this was the inspection. And what happened was my house failed the inspection. There was some kind of a water problem. Somehow water had gotten into the walls that I was totally unaware of. I was completely ignorant of this problem, and it was considered a major problem. And I remember the fear coming up that the house would not sell. And in fact, not only would the current buyers back out of it, but this was such a serious problem that nobody would ever buy it. I mean, that's nobody would ever want this house. It was going to be condemned. That was the fear that came up. And this was not a cheap house, by the way, a very expensive house. Nearly, you know, all of my finances were invested in this house. And then I remember that I was the Holy Spirit's charge. And I remembered that I didn't have to worry about how this seeming huge obstacle was going to be taken care of, but I was the Holy Spirit's charge, and all I needed to do was trust in that, and this would be taken care of. And I remember there was about a 24-hour waiting period from the time I found out about the house failing the inspection until I heard back on the next steps again. But during that 24-hour period, of course, lots of fear kept coming up. But the entire time the fear kept coming up, I just kept remembering that the Holy Spirit was going to take care of everything. I just kept remembering that I was doing what the Holy Spirit asked me to do, and I didn't need to worry about anything because I was the Holy Spirit's charge, and that it would take care of everything. And I just kept putting my faith in that. And after about 24 hours of really focusing on that thought, the buyers did come back and agreed to go ahead and buy the house. And in fact, they said to me, "We know that all you want is to get out of this house, and you don't want to fix this problem." And I think it was estimated that it would be like $20,000, it seems like, to fix it. They said, "We know you don't want to be putting that kind of money into a house that you are about to sell. So here's what we'll do. We will just take $10,000 off the price we've offered you, and after we buy the house, we'll get it fixed." Now, I got to tell you, $10,000 off the price they offered me was still above my asking price. Okay, these people came in on the very first day, made me an offer above my asking price. Even after they took off the $10,000 because it failed the inspection, it was still above my asking price. Now, you know, this is the reflection of a miracle in form. Now, miracles occur in the mind, all right? Miracles always occur in the mind. But what had happened in my mind was I had made a firm decision not to believe fear. I had made a firm decision not to believe that I had to do anything to fix this problem. I had made a firm decision to do nothing but trust the Holy Spirit. And this was the very first time I'd really done that in such a firm way. That was actually the miracle, the change of mind, the choice that I made in the mind. The solution that showed up in form was simply a reflection of that change in mind. So it was a reflection of a miracle. But we can see what a beautiful reflection it was. I mean, they call up, "We know that you just want to get out of here. We know you don't want to go pouring any more money into this house. So here's what we're willing to do." And really a very, very beautiful reflection. So as you can see, this message, and again, that particular line, "You are our love and our charge, whom we care for." You know, that was very important for me to help me to shift my mind from fear to complete trust, even when it looked like all hell was breaking loose in form. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. All right, then, what we can do is click on, at the top of the page, it says Next Entries. We can click on Next Entries. And then once you click on Next Entries again, you can just do a Control End to go to the bottom of the page. Or you can scroll down, whichever is easier for you. And when you get to the bottom of this page, it looks like we're at Thursday, April 7th. Ah, I remember this too. It's funny how I remember receiving every one of these messages, and it was so long ago, but I remember this one. I remember right where I was. I remember. It's called You Are the One. So let's read this. It is you. You are the one. Do not be afraid of this message. There is no arrogance in it. It is the truth of who you are said plainly. That is all. You are the answer you seek. You are the one, and there is only one. Accept yourself, and all your dreams will come true, because you dream of truth. Your willingness has laid out a path before you. Follow your path and come home to me, for I am you. And there were several things that played into this, three different things in form that I think led up to this message. One thing was on the Living Only Love Yahoo group. I'd been posting on the Peace of God for a few months, but what had just happened was I had received an email and I was asked to start posting on Living Only Love. So I started posting on Living Only Love, but when I got there, what I saw was that they had been posting, I think they had probably copied it from the Peace of God, they had been posting some of the messages that the Holy Spirit had given me, only what they had done was, it kind of put like an author's credit, underneath it, like you might see a statement and then you'll see, Eckhart Tolle, because Eckhart Tolle said it. Well, they had quoted, what I perceived to be the Holy Spirit's words, and then they had put Regina Don Akers or Regina Akers, I don't remember which, but I remember that my response to seeing that was shock, and I wanted to email them and say, no, that's not me, no, don't say that that's me, because it's not, and the real reason for that at this point was not humility. At some point I got to where I was taking my name away for a different reason. Sometimes the form can be the same, but the reason behind it can be different. At this point, it was not humility. It was the belief in separation. It was a no, that's not me. It's the Holy Spirit, which is not me. I mean, that's really where this was coming from. And so that's one thing that led up to this. And then another thing that happened was Jeffrey Lake apparently read one of my posts on the Peace of God, which, really spoke to him. And he replied to me and said, you are the one. And I had the exact same, no, not me, quit, it's not me. That was my reaction. It's not me. So again, that thought of separation, that the Holy Spirit was something other than me. And then, of course, the third thing that really went into this was, again, I had just kind of started on this path where my whole life was going to change again, selling my house, quitting my job, blah, 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 blah. So all of that kind of played into this. But what was really happening was I was really denying strongly at this point the part of my mind which is the Holy Spirit. I was separating myself from it. I was listening to it, but I was separating myself from it, really much like Helen did. I think this is what Helen did. I mean, she listened to Jesus, but I don't think she ever accepted that that was her voice. I think she separated herself from it. And I was doing the same thing here. I was separating myself from it. And so that's what led up to this message. Holy Spirit says, it is you. So Holy Spirit is really addressing this thought in my mind that is separating myself from the Holy Spirit in my mind. It is you. And I remember that line hit me like a pow. And in fact, notice, he says, it is you. You are the one. And then notice the very next two lines. Do not be afraid of this message. There is no arrogance in it. So you can see what my reaction really was when the message came out, it is you. You are the one. I wanted to deny it as it was coming. I wanted to scribble it out. I wanted to say, this must be ego. You know, I wanted to deny the message. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit came right back with, do not be afraid of this message. There is no arrogance in it. It is the truth of who you are said plainly. Look at that. It is the truth of who you are said plainly. That is all. You are the answer you seek. You are the one, and there is only one. Accept yourself, and all your dreams will come true because you dream of truth. Your willingness has laid out a path before you. Follow your path and come home to me, for I am you. And so, again, a very helpful message, just, again, attacking, literally, I'm using the word attack, but attacking the thought of separation within the mind, with, of course, that loving marshmallow bat, but it's attacking that firm belief in the mind that I am somehow separate from God, and, of course, that is ultimately the belief that must be let go of. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. All right, then. Let's scroll up. It looks like on April 7th, I also had a question. It looks like I had a confrontation. I don't remember this confrontation, but maybe as I remember, as I read the question, maybe it will come back. I'm sure it was at work. I was still at work, so I'm sure it was at work. Okay, let's see if I can remember this. I was a part of a confrontation today that I can't figure out. Another person was upset with me, and I'm not sure that I understand why. It seemed like she wanted me to agree with her. She said, I remember now. She said she didn't feel validated or heard. I think the point where I began to notice that I was getting uncomfortable was when I saw that she wasn't going to understand my perspective. I also saw that I could not see hers. She used the word separate, and that bothered me. This is someone I enjoy, respect, and love. I don't understand why such a chasm seems to exist. And this was a person that I, as I said, I do and did enjoy, respect, and love. But every now and then, for reasons that I truly could not understand, we would have these bizarre conversations. And, of course, when I use bizarre, I'm talking about the perspective I held at the time. But these bizarre conversations where she would seem to come in out of nowhere, because I felt like I literally felt like I was always telling her how much I appreciated her, how she worked for me. She was one of literally the strongest employees I had, and I felt like I was always telling her how strong she was. She got plenty of awards. You know, I really felt that I was very vocal about how much I respected her and valued her. But every now and then she would come in with this, you know, you don't like me thing, this talk she wanted to have, and I never ever understood where it was coming from. She would tell me she didn't feel valued, she didn't feel validated, she didn't feel heard, and what was really my perspective was that I was just confused. Just confused. And again, I would try and explain to her, you know, I would say, well, you know, I gave you this award, you know, I said this in the staff meeting, I let everybody know how happy I was with this project, and you know, it never seemed like she heard me during these particular conversations when I tried to explain that I did value her and that I felt like I was always expressing how much I valued her. So that's really what this is talking about. And she did use the word separate. I don't remember the exact sentence, but she pointed out something about how separate we were. And I thought this really bothers me because, of course, here I am. I'm a core student. I am trying to learn to be one with everyone. And here's this person that I really do love. You know, this isn't one of the ones that I resent and I judge. This is one of the ones that I love. And she's sitting here telling me that she, you know, feels the opposite coming from me. And I felt very, very, very confused. So that's why I went to the Holy Spirit. And I'm noticing that Dorothy is saying, I find that too, Regina. those who are the best workers and who I appreciate the most seem to feel the least appreciated. Yet it seems to me that they're always going over and above trying to earn love, yet that never works. Yes, this is the same situation. So it's that old seek and do not find of the separation thought system. And yes, that's absolutely what it was. But at this point, I was feeling guilty. And I was feeling like I wasn't doing enough, but I couldn't figure out what I could do. So I was taking the blame that she was putting on me. I was taking it, but yet I was completely confused and baffled by it. So let's see what Holy Spirit had to say to me now that we understand what the seeming problem was. You want very much to see yourself as one with your brothers. And that is what I want for you too. Yet the ego will resist this desire, and form is the world of the ego. You became upset because you believed the form over the peace that was in your mind. And what that sentence is really referring to is I was, before she came into my office on this particular day, I was sitting there feeling quite peaceful. This was a good day. You know, I was feeling peaceful and happy and, you know, going over my lesson for the day in my mind and feeling pretty good. And then when she walked in and began this conversation, of course, I immediately got very upset. So what Holy Spirit is saying is that when this form showed up for me, I immediately started believing the form. And I completely just threw my peace out the window immediately. So again, you became upset because you believed the form over the peace that was in your mind. So you threw away the peace when the form did not go in the way you wanted it to. The form is not under your individual control. The place where you must focus your efforts is the mind. And I think that that second to last sentence is really important because this is a common confusion that we as course students have. Somehow we get this confusion in our mind that as we allow our mind to be healed, everything in form is going to start going our way. And that is really an ego confusion. In fact, if you listen carefully to that, everything is going to start going my way. My way compared to whose way? I mean, you can see clearly how that's an ego, that there even is a my way in the sentence is the ego. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is pointing out that form is not under my individual control. And the real reason for that is that, you know, we're not an individual. We are one mind. And, you know, one way that the Holy Spirit expresses that with me sometimes, it says that we are aspects of one mind. But everything that happens within form, the experience that is created total within form, is created by our one mind total, which means that as my mind is healed, other people may still walk into my office upset because they're believing their own illusions. So the fact that my mind is healed does not mean I'm going to start seeing everybody else around me as happy and joyous in form. They're not a reflection of my mind in that way. They may still be very, very upset about something. But if I am maintaining a healed mind, I am not going to join them in their upset because I'm going to see the situation differently. What happened in this case was I joined her in the upset. I was not able to maintain my own peace of mind. I wasn't that strong yet. When form got upsetting, I fell hook, line, and sinker for the form. And I followed the form rather than leading within my own mind. So I lost it. So that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. The form is not under your individual control. The place where you must focus your efforts is the mind. Hello, Jasmine. Hello. Accept your friend as someone who does not know who she is. She is experiencing pain and feels separate from you and others. She wants to join with you, but does not understand what joining is. It's okay that you did not understand her perspective. But you could have handled the situation differently by not trying to defend yourself. She would have been very happy just to hear you apologize and tell her that you did not know she was feeling that way. So Holy Spirit is really at this point giving me guidance on how I could have handled this differently in form. But I got to tell you, the way I understood it was looking at my mind. It looks like the directions are in form, but when I heard this, I understood it as looking at my mind, because what Holy Spirit was really pointing out was that as soon as she started telling me that she didn't feel loved and respected, my automatic reaction, again, I threw my peace away. I automatically judged myself as I must be doing something wrong. I automatically felt guilty within my mind, and I started trying to defend myself by pointing out to her the awards I had given her, the times I had praised her in front of others. And the Holy Spirit is saying, and then it just seemed to get worse. The situation seemed to get worse. So Holy Spirit seems to be saying, you didn't need to do that. You could have just listened. But what I understood this to be in my mind, that I really could have just sat and let all of these thoughts in my mind go and just listen to her, have felt no guilt, no need to be defensive, and had just said, I'm really, really sorry, Jean, I didn't know you felt that way. And that the entire situation would have gone differently. But of course, it would not necessarily have gone differently because of that doing. It would have gone differently because that doing would have come from a different reaction within my mind. My mind got guilty and defensive. In my mind, I threw my peace away and felt I had to defend myself. If in my mind I had just loved and listened and not desired to defend myself, the entire situation would have played out differently. And that's really what Holy Spirit is pointing out to me here. He continues, you are going to find many people who will not understand the perspective you are learning. In other words, when all these people that you work with come into your office with their problems, you can't necessarily teach them A Course in Miracles. That's not what they want from you. So you're going to find many people who will not understand the perspective you are learning. They aren't ready to understand it. Don't try to explain it to them if they are not asking to understand. Try instead to look at them and remember that they are the same Son of God that you are, but they don't know it right now. Give them the love they seek. Join with them in a way they understand, and don't worry if they are not ready for a higher way of seeing. And that is such an important lesson, and that applies with everyone, not just the people we work with. I mean, with Jasmine, Jasmine is sometimes ready for a higher way of learning. She does show those signs sometimes, but the majority of the time, she's just a normal kid completely caught up in the world. And, she wants from me the same things that other kids in the world want from their parents. And some of these things are things that literally are not important to me anymore, like the celebration of Mother's Day that we just did. I should be quiet. Not overly important to me, but important to her. One way that I show her that she is loved is by receiving Mother's Day from her with enthusiasm. And so that is exactly what I did on Sunday. I received Mother's Day from her with enthusiasm. Not because I needed Mother's Day, not because Mother's Day was important to me, but because it is a way of communicating that she is loved, that she understands. It's meeting her where she is. And it's not seeing her as permanently there. It's just recognizing where she chooses to be right now. I'm completely willing for her to let go of Mother's Day when the time comes and she wants to, and everything else. But again, it's meeting people where they are and loving them in a way that they understand. And sometimes that involves, for someone on the spiritual path, it involves doing things or participating in things that aren't overly important to us anymore. Maybe we don't care about the concert or the sporting event or the holiday or the anniversary or even the sex. I've heard of couples where, one person wanted to become celibate and the other one still wanted sex. Maybe it's even the sex is something we're willing to let go of. But maybe also, if we can see that the other person is not feeling loved, maybe it's something we're willing to do as a means of saying you are loved in a way that they understand. So a very important message about meeting people where they are, but yet maintaining in our mind who they really are, meeting them one place in form. while meeting them another place in the mind. And we all know what's most important. What's most important is where are we meeting them in the mind. Let me just read that paragraph again. You are going to find many people who will not understand the perspective you are learning. They aren't ready to understand it. Don't try to explain it to them if they are not asking to understand. Try instead to look at them and remember that they are the same Son of God that you are, but they don't know it right now. Give them the love they seek. Join with them in a way they understand. And don't worry if they are not ready for a higher way of seeing. Very, very important message, which I continue, like I said, to practice to this day with my boyfriend. That's the whole reason we went to Disney World. Disney World is important to my boyfriend and my daughter. Not at all important to me. But it's showing them that I love them in a way they understand. You know, going with them on vacation to a place that is important to them. The next paragraph. You want to know what to forgive in this situation. Forgive the belief in separateness. Forgive the idea of conflict. When these beliefs have left your mind, the same situation will look different to you. And at the time that I wrote this, I could not imagine. I could not imagine not believing in separateness. I could not imagine not believing in conflict. I knew the Holy Spirit was asking me to let go of these things. I knew the Holy Spirit was teaching me that these things were not real, but they were still very real to me. And although I had willingness to see that they were not real, in my experience, they were. And I could not imagine not having those beliefs in the mind. However, I will tell you that although I do still experience the wrong mind, I also now experience the right mind. And at that time, I hadn't. The right mind, I'm going to define as the mind that does not believe in separateness. I'm not just defining it as being nice. I'm literally defining the right mind as the mind that does not believe in separateness. Does not believe in conflict. It truly does not believe it, and it truly does not see it. And I do experience the right mind as well. So there are times when I am in the right mind and I do not believe in separateness and I do not believe in conflict when I'm in that right mind. And now I see that when I'm in that right mind, the exact same situation and form could not possibly take my peace from me. Could not possibly, because just as the Holy Spirit is saying here, you see the entire experience differently from the right mind than you do from the wrong mind. So really the Holy Spirit is asking me in this paragraph to give my willingness to truly learn to see through the right mind. Not just intellectually say to myself, okay, there's no such thing as conflict. Okay, there's no such thing as separation. Because intellectual is not the right mind. Intellectual can be a symbol of willingness. So I don't want to knock intellectual, because when you intellectually say, okay, there's no such thing as conflict, what you're really saying is, okay, I'm really willing to see there's no such thing as conflict. But that intellectual statement is willingness. It's not the same thing as the right mind. It's not the same thing as actually experiencing that mind. So what the Holy Spirit is really doing here is saying, I want you to give that willingness to get to that point where you will experience this mind and you will know through your own witness, through your own experience, through your own tasting, that there is no such thing as separateness and there is no such thing as conflict. And these are not just sentences. These are realities. These are facts. This is truth. You want to know what to forgive in this situation. Forgive the belief in separateness. Forgive the idea of conflict. When these beliefs have left your mind, this same situation will look different to you. And notice another thing the Holy Spirit doesn't say here. He doesn't say when you forgive these beliefs in your mind, this same situation could never occur. Right? He's not saying that. And that goes way back up to the first sentence where he says you don't have individual control. This same situation could still occur if this other person still has these thoughts in her mind, right? She could still walk into my office and say, you don't love me. And the Holy Spirit's saying this, he's not saying that's not going to happen anymore. He's saying you're going to see it differently. You're going to understand it differently when your mind is healed. When these beliefs have left your mind, this same situation will look different to you. You will be able to love your brother without losing your peace. You will be able to give him what he is asking for by meeting him where he is instead of asking him to meet you where you are. Thank you for coming to me with this. I should have said, thank you for answering. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. All right, then, let's scroll up to Saturday, April 9th. And it looks like it's a message I heard while I was meditating on workbook lesson 322, I can give up, but what was never real? I can give up, but what was never real? And then the Holy Spirit said, this includes yourself, of course, with a little s. The you that you have thought you are is not you and could never be. That you is temporal. You are eternal. The eternal cannot be contained within the temporal. The eternal cannot be limited at all, because that which is eternal is holy without limits. You are the holy unlimited. Accept yourself with a capital S. You are drawing closer to this recognition through your willingness. Continue to give me your willingness, and you will see that you are me. We are one. We are the same. There is no separation or difference of any kind. Any thought that seems to tell you that you are different from me is a thought of imagination that you have made up. Imaginary images are temporary. They are not real. Return to the recognition of truth. The truth awaits to delight you. So again, this is just a message that the Holy Spirit gave me, many, many, many messages like this, all of which were literally designed to, you know, get me to let go of the grip of the ego a little bit more and to step one step closer to accepting oneness. So, you know, many messages like this, all given to me, designed as meditations to accompany my workbook lesson. Really what they did is they almost hit closer to home for me than the workbook lesson itself. So the workbook lesson inspired a more direct message that was really more meaningful for my mind. So you could call this meeting me where I was. Let's scroll on up to, it's lesson 323, I gladly make the sacrifice of fear, Sunday, April 10th. Really funny, because the very first line says, you cannot hear me because there is fear in your mind. So apparently what had already been happening this particular morning is I had been trying to hear the Holy Spirit and couldn't. So I was probably experiencing some frustration that lasted for a certain amount of time. Who knows, it could have been half an hour, an hour, 2 hours. And finally, at one point, I had settled down enough. In fact, I don't remember the specific day, but there's a good chance I was actually doing something else, like taking a shower or doing dishes. And when I relaxed, this message probably began to come. And so that's why it starts off with, you cannot hear me. And what it, you know, what it would be referring to is the hour or the 2 hours before when I was feeling that frustration. So, you cannot hear me because there is fear in your mind. You want to release it, and you have released some of it, but you are still denying that much of it is there. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that the fear is there. You are afraid to acknowledge it because you think it is real, and you think that if real fear exists within you, you must be bad. You think that if you are bad, you are not deserving of God's love. This is what you fear. Now, this is a really important message. And in fact, some of what I'm still experiencing today. So this is a message, and I mean like today, what is today? Tuesday? Tuesday, May 15th, 2007. I've been looking at fears in my mind today, and pretty strong fears, actually, really strong fears. And recognizing not to fear the fear, not to fear the fear, just look at the fear and let it go. And the form that seems to be bringing up this fear, I had mentioned in a post not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, that what I noticed is there was still a fear in my mind about physical attack. And I had mentioned to you all that, you know, a couple different things had happened in my life recently where I had seen that. One was a couple acquaintances of mine were badly beaten up. Another was, of course, an image of the Virginia Tech shooter with a hammer. When I saw the image of him with the hammer, I felt a reaction inside of me. And I recognized that there really is still a lot of fear in me about, you know, what I'll call physical violence. That fear has not yet been released. I gave willingness to release that fear because it is still coming up. And in fact, there's a situation that arose where a man called me on the phone and he wants to meet with me. This is a person who became aware of me because he saw an article that was in John Mundy's Miracle Magazine, which I felt very strongly guided. The article is called The Master Teacher and the Little Girl. And it came very quickly while I was eating cereal one morning, and I immediately felt to send it to John Mundy, and he immediately replied and said he would publish it. So that the whole thing occurred within about 20 minutes from when the article started coming to my mind until he agreed to have published it. It was pretty quick, so it felt pretty strongly guided. And this person saw that article, and this person lives in North Carolina, so this person went to the police station in New London and asked for my address or phone number. And they called me and asked if they could have permission to give him my address or phone number. And I gave them permission to give me my phone number. And he called me, and he describes himself as a mystic, and he lives in the woods of North Carolina without electricity, without running water, you know, very rustic type environment, lives off the land. He had borrowed a cell phone from someone to call me, and he couldn't talk long because they wanted the phone back. But he was very interested in the article, and he wanted to talk some more. And so he asked me to meet him in a park, which is about an hour away from here, and I'm actually meeting him tomorrow. And what I notice in my mind today is lots of fear coming up about meeting this man in this park, you know, in the country. And I'm spending all day. At first, when I saw the fears, I saw the thought to literally be afraid of the fear, just like this is saying. And I had to literally say, no, I see this fear. It's almost like talking to myself. I see this fear. I see that I am seriously afraid of physical attack. I see that, and I'm not going to deny that fear is in me. But I also know my willingness to let go of this fear. I know that I do not want to live with this fear. I know that. I also know that my true desire is what leads me in my life. I know that my true desire is stronger in my mind than any other desire now. And I know that everything that is coming up now is coming up so that I can be released, so that I can be freed, and so that I can serve the Holy Spirit fully. And, you know, that's exactly what this is saying. So it's really helpful to me to be going over this message again. It's saying, don't be afraid to acknowledge that the fear is there. Because we do that. We're afraid to acknowledge, damn it, I'm afraid of this. You know, we have to admit that. We have to let it up. I am afraid of this. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that the fear is there. You are afraid to acknowledge it because you think it is real, and you think that if real fear exists within you, you must be bad. You think that if you are bad, you are not deserving of God's love, which really means we fear that the bad is going to happen to us. We fear the fear is real, and we fear that that which we fear is going to happen to us because we are not deserving of God's love. All of this has to be let go. It absolutely has to be let go. The next paragraph. Believing the fear keeps it real for you. The only way to see that it isn't true is to acknowledge the fear in faith and let it go. Hand it to me along with your willingness to see only truth. It may seem that you have to do this over and over again. That's only because you are learning to turn over fear, and all learning involves practice. So it doesn't matter at all that the fear comes up in me and that I see it, I acknowledge it, I turn it over, I start feeling peaceful, and then 20 minutes later it comes back in my mind and I'm feeling it again. That's not failure, that's just the process. And all I have to do is continue to be consistent. All I have to do is remember what I really want. All I have to do is remember my true desire. All I have to do is let that lead above anything else. And what I really want is to be completely free of any false thoughts. I don't want anything in my mind that is not truth, which means I need to walk right through this fear, trust in the Holy Spirit, and let it go. Believing the fear keeps it real for you. The only way to see that it isn't true is to acknowledge the fear in faith and let it go. Hand it to me along with your willingness to see only truth. It may seem that you have to do this over and over again. That's only because you are learning to turn over fear, and all learning involves practice. Feel my love for you and know that I am here with you, loving you all the time. My patience may seem infinite, but it is no less than your beauty. And, you know, I love it when the Holy Spirit gives comments, compliments like that, because at this time I was probably thinking that I was this lowly person who wasn't getting this stuff. And, you know, this Holy Spirit keeps coming back so patiently and teaching me the same thing over and over again. And the Holy Spirit is reminding me, but it's you that's beautiful. You know, you are the one I'm looking at and in awe of. You know, the Holy Spirit would say things to me like that all the time, really lifting me up from that lowly way that I looked at myself. Take my hand, I will lead you, and together we will release the fear you are afraid to face. And of course, at the time of this writing, we were literally still talking about the leaving the job, you know, the moving, going to work for the Foundation for the Awakening Mind, that whole thing. That is what I was afraid to face. And as I pointed out to you before, what I did was, even though I was afraid, and I was afraid for months, you know, we're not talking one dark night of the soul, we're talking many, and I would let it go and then it would come back. What I did was I kept walking anyway. I kept putting one foot in front of the other, trusting the Holy Spirit and walking anyway. I walked right through it. And just like I did that then, this is what I am doing now with this current fear that is coming up. Because I fully realize at a level that is deeper than the fear, it is coming up so I can be free of it. And if I don't listen to it, if I just keep putting one foot in front of the other and letting the trust be stronger than the fear, this is how you overcome or transcend fear. I've done it before with other things, and I'm going to do it now with this. So, and one reason I want to say that is because I don't know how you all are feeling about what I just revealed, because I know that the fear that I'm experiencing right now is a common fear, and there may be someone out there right now that's listening that's feeling afraid for me. Just in case you are, I'm going to ask you instead to join with me in trust. I'm going to ask with you, join with me, you know, use me, live vicariously through me, and allow your fears to come up and release your fears and join me in trust, because this is exactly how we transcend fear. And transcending fear is what this path is all about. If we run from everything that scares us, we'll never learn there's nothing to fear. And Holy Spirit guides us. Holy Spirit guides us if we listen to Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry that we're making any foolish steps, as long as we're paying attention, being alert, letting go of the fear. Remember, we are His charge. He promises to take care of us. He absolutely promises to take care of us. But we've got to walk through this fear. We can't hide every time we feel it, or we're never going to get anywhere. So take my hand. I will lead you, and together we will release the fear you are afraid to face. It is nothing. Trust me. Give me your love as I have given you mine. Together, our love is one, and we will face the fear as one. And I notice Dove says, coming up now, Be Not Afraid with Kevin Rice, Unity Minister, the Palm Beaches, Florida. So if Jasmine will allow me, Dove, I'll stay tuned in and listen to that. But whether I stay tuned in or not, know that, of course, you know what I'm up to. You know that what I'm doing is choosing the Holy Spirit, because that is what I do. And so I will be back on Thursday at 1 o'clock, and what we will do is continue with NTI. I don't remember exactly where we left off, but I remember that we are somewhere in the book of Acts. So I look forward to seeing you all then. I love you very much. Bye-bye.